The other day we mentioned that the din of Kasher and Kalim appears twice in the Chumash. In this week's Parsha, in Parsha Sav, it appears in connection with Hetera Bola, in connection with if someone cooked a Korban Chatos in a Kli, so the Bli in the Kli, even though you finish eating it and you wash out the pot, the Bli in the Kli will turn into Noisa when it comes Alois HaShachar. Min HaTorah, Min HaRabbanan, it turns into Noisa Ret Chatzos. Min HaTorah, it only becomes Noisa and Alois HaShachar. The Mishnah says that it's Nech Yom Elay Lad Chatzos, that's only Min HaRabbanan. That's a Psechidish. The Abu Dram says the whole Perek Ezam HaKaimon was from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they already had the Gzera Rabban that you have to finish eating by Chatzos. They're the Harchik Sodom and Aver. It's possible, but it's a little questionable. His assumption that the whole Perek Ezam HaKaimon is from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Chumash there is that you have to kashen Mariko Shtifa, you have to kashen all the Kalim, because if you cook a Chatos tomorrow, you cook a Shlomim, and the pot that you cook the Chatos today, so it'll have a Bliya from today's Chatos, and the Bliya will be nice, and it'll make everything awesome, make the whole pot awesome. So you have to have a Marek Vishuta Bamon, you have to have Mariko Shtifa. So that's a special din. The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim. Mariko Shtifa, what does it mean? So one means B'tzayin and one means B'chamin. So one Tana says, first you do B'chamin, first you do the Hagola, then you rinse it off B'tzayin. One says Fakert, first you rinse it off B'tzayin, and then you do the Hagola B'chamin. But this Alpi Pashtas, this is only a special din. Mariko Shtifa is only a special din by Kelim that have a Bliya from Chatos, a special service of Kosos. If I have a Chomisik, a pot, I have a trade for pot, and I want a Kashmir, there's no need for the mitzvah of Mariko Shtifa. You just have to do the Hagolah. There's no Indian for rinsing it off in cold water. The Tosus on the list, Daf and Avodah Zarah, mentions that we have a minig, a time-honored minig, an ancient minig, that after we do the Hagolah, we rinse it off right away with cold water, and Tosus doesn't understand why. What is it all about? So the Balei Sperera, because they don't have any better suggestion, they say maybe it's a Zechet for Mariko Shtifa. Some Achreinim came up with a new Einfal that if you don't rinse it off in cold water afterwards, it won't be poilet to trade for Bliya. But Tosfos holds not so. Tosfos says that it's just a minig, not a real din. It's just Zechel and Mariko Shtifa. And the Mariko Shtifa that was done in Chumash, that would a bracha would be recited. That's a mitzvah. The Mariko Shtifa is supposed to be done by Machon Kodesh in the Azorah. Hagola and Chometz Dikakelim, a trade for Kelim. There's no din that Hagola has to be done in the Shul. It doesn't have to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Hagolah is just a matir. It's not a mitzvah. You don't recite a bracha when you do Hagolah. You probably do recite a bracha when you perform Mariko Shtifa. That's taka mitzvah. But when you do Hagolah, no bracha is recited. The din is that when you do the Hagolah also, Marek B'shuta Ba'mayim. So the Gemara says Mariko Shtifa has to be done with Mayim, and you can't use Yayin. You can't use Shar Mashkin. So we are machmer by Hagolah. There's a machlekes Rishonim. So some Rishonim hold that... Some Rishonim hold that Hagola also has to be done dafke b'mayim, and you can't do Hagola b'shar mashke. So the Rambam says lachatchila b'choshish for that, but b'dieved we paskan that Hagola b'shar mashke is also good. That's a further machlokes achreinim. What did the Rambam mean b'dieved? B'dieved means I already cooked the pesach like a food. I already cooked the food in the pot. Well, it means no. I already did the Hagola b'mashkim b'shar mashkim. I didn't cook the pesach like a food yet. That's called Hagola. That's called b'dieved. If I already did the hagolah, but let's say a guy does hagolah with orange juice instead of using water. So that's machlekes achreinim. What does it mean b'dieved? If you have a big shas hadchak, so we pass on a shas hadchak b'dieved dami. We would permit lachatchila. What usually is only allowed b'dieved. So sometimes you have a big shas hadchak, you would permit hagolah b'shar mashkin. The din in the Shulchan Aruch is that kibola kachpolta, the klal in the Gemara. So kibola kachpolta determines which form of kashering one requires, whether you need libun, or hagola is enough, or milavir gimel yomim. We spoke about that already. If the bliya was aydei kovish, then you can get the bliya out through milavir gimel yomim. And then the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rishonim, say further from the Balei HaTosis. Tosis says this. Within hagola, if you determine that the bliya was aydei mashkim, so then hagola is good enough. Milavir gimel yomim is not good, and there's no need for libun. You do libun, fine, I do libun. Says in Shulchan Aruch, whenever Hagol is sufficient, and it's easier for your purposes to do libun, then we would say that libun kal would be sufficient. Two kinds of libun. There's libun chomer, libun kal. Libun chomer means that you heat it till around 950 degrees. Libun kal is you heat it till 550 degrees. degrees, 550 degrees. So whenever Hagola is sufficient, so then the Rama says that Liban Kal would be sufficient. Whenever you really require Liban Medina, then you require what we call Liban Chomer. So within Hagola Gufa, if we determine that this Kli had the Bliya De Mayim, so then we have a further Klal of Kibola Kach Polta. Was a Balea Aide Kli Rishon? Was a Balea Aide Irui? Or was a Balea Aide Kli Sheni? Balea Aide Kli Sheni is a big Machloikis HaRishayim. You know in the Gemara in Masech HaShabbos that Kli Sheni is not Mevasha. That's for visual purposes. And the Gemara applies that to Shabbos and to Basa B'Cholov. The Gemara in the beginning of Kol HaBasa says, by Basa B'Cholov, it's only an Issa Deraisa if it's Derech Bishul. It's not Derech Bishul, it's only Basa B'Cholov Derabbanan. So there's no Bishul B'Kli Sheni. The worst it can become is going to be Basa B'Cholov Derabbanan. It won't become Basa B'Cholov Deraisa. Then the Gemara applies it also. Bishul B'Kli Sheni doesn't count. When you get to Korban Pesach, a Bashul Mavushal Ba'amayim, that if you eat the Korban Pesach that's Mavushal, you get Malkus. So the Gemara says if it's Bishul B'Kli Sheni, it doesn't count. It has to conform to the rules and regulations of Bishul. What about B'negeh to Blias? Do you say that since the Kli Sheni is not Mavashel, what the Nami is not Balea? So that's a big Machlekes Tosis in the Ramban. But the Ramban Tosis says that since the Kli Sheni is not Mavashel, so a Blia that comes like the Kli Sheni doesn't count. Kli Sheni means that I have a burning hot chicken soup, fleshiga soup, which is sitting in the bowl, and it's burning hot. You burn your tongue if you burn your finger, if you put your finger in. You burn your tongue if you eat the soup, but it's in a Kli Sheni. So the Tfanas are going to be Makaris. Then by mistake, I took a milchik spoon and I put it into the fleshig soup. So would you say that the milchik spoon just became fleshig and you have to kasher it? So Tesis says no, the Kli Sheni is not Bolea. It's not Bablia, it's not Bolea. So Ramban says, how can it be? If Kovish came a bushel, if Kovish makes asa, how can you say Kli Sheni is less? If Maliach kiresech, Maliach makes a bliya, how can you say the Kli Sheni doesn't make a bliya? So this is a major machlokes harishayim. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like Tesis, that we make all that Kli Sheni is not bliya. Many of the Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer are quoted in the Darkei Tshuva. They were noita lahachmer against the Shulchan Aruch. They said lachatchila for sure one should be machmer, that there is a bliya in a Kli Sheni. So for Pesach and Shulchan Aruch, they talk about Kasher and Kalim that were Balea, are they Kli Sheni? So it says the klal, whenever you have a Kli that was Balea, whenever, let's say, I have a ladle, and the ladle became chametz stick because I have spaghetti in the pot, and I put in a ladle and everything is burning hot, so then the ladle, tekasha for Pesach, has to have a gola b'kli rishon. Whenever, let's say, I put something on a bowl, and the bliya was like the iroi, so then I have to have agola. You don't need agola b'kli rishon. Agola the iroi would be good enough. I have a kettle with piping hot water. I'll pour the water on top of this. Since the bliya was like the iroi, so the agola can be like the iroi. Whenever the bliya was like the kli sheni, and for Pesach we are machma like the Ramban. That's for sure. And Shulchan Aruch machma that the bliya de kli sheni makes a bliya, makes chametzik. So then you can have agola de kli sheni. I can take this kli that was, let's say, I have a spoon that I use for chametzik soup. I have some chametzik soup. I use a spoon, so the spoon is only used in the kli sheni. Never used, never ide iri, never ide kli rishon. So I can kasher it ide kli sheni. When you're kashering in a kli rishon,
the rest of the year lachatchila we're not machmer.
Many poskim recommend you should be machmer that there is a bliya b'kli sheni, because the Ramban's argument is very strong. Even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the kli sheni is there's no bliya b'kli sheni, but lachatchila for sure one should be machmer. Yeah. When a person is kashering b'kli rishon, when a bliya came by the kli rishon, kashering b'kli rishon. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that we require that the water should be hot mala babuos. Mala babuos means 212. Or something very close to 212. 210 is also good. 200 is also good. But if it's just a yatzal lettuce bowl, that's way down. Yatzal lettuce is not enough for hagol. If you're going to be kashering b'kli sheni, so by definition it's not going to be mala babuos. I already put it into the kli sheni, it's not going to be 212. So then we have no other shear. So then we say that Yatzal Lettuce is good enough. If you're doing Hagolah B'Kli Sheni. One could have said the shear should have been Yad Nichbis Bo, but that's at this an artificial shear. Yad Nichbis is an invention. It's not exactly an invention. Yad Soledis means if I don't realize that the water is burning hot, if I put my hand in, my instinctive reaction will be to jump away. That's called Yad Soledis. Yad Nichbis Bo means if I put my hand in for a couple of seconds and I'll take it out, my skin will be burnt. I'll have a red mark on my skin. That's Yad Nichbis. Sometimes people take a shower in burning hot water. People take a shower in Yad Soledis water. I know in advance that's what I'm getting in for. I'm going to take a shower, a bath in Yad Soledis. Yad Nichbis, you can't take a shower. Yad Nichbis, your skin is going to be burnt. That's when people get burnt, if it's Yad Nichbis. So does Yad Nichbis ever play a role, Al Pidin? So there is a Yerushalmi that the Rambam quotes in Hilchas Trumas. The din is that the tevel is only awesome in Atar Bachiva if you had already miruach and rias pnei abayis. Then there's an isa deraisa ti tevel. If you didn't have rias pnei abayis, then there's no isa deraisa. But with the Rabbana, they introduce a chumre, if you eat it achilas keva, eat the tevel achilas keva, even though it didn't have a rias pnei abayis yet, that's awesome in the Rabbana. So what constitutes achilas keva? So one form is a guy sits and eats a whole bowl full of vegetables and he's full. That's one kind of achilas keva. And then we have a list of additional things that are koveya. So if you salt the food before you eat it, so melech is koveya, even though you eat a small amount. If you cook it, so bishul is koveya. Mekach, we learned the Ramban in the end of Bava Kama, quoted the Yerushalmi, so mekach is koveya. If you buy it from someone else and then you eat it, so mekach is koveya. Whatever you eat on Shabbos koivas. The Gemara seems to say that Shabbos koivas because Shabbos is a mitzvah of oinek Shabbos. And the Gemara seems to say beferish that yontif, achila on yontif is not koveya. And the simple reading of the Gemara is because there is no mitzvah of oinek on yontif. Kibud v'oinek appears in Yeshaya. It only applies to Shabbos, not the yontif. That's what the Rambam is difficult. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos that there are four mitzvahs on Shabbos, two min atar, two min derabbanan. There's two min atara, azach v'shamer, the two midirik shenis parshal idei hanavim, not midir rabbanan, shem shenis parshal idei hanavim, is kibud v'yoinig, and then he writes that all the four dinim that apply to Shabbos carry over to Yontif. So the Beis Halevi and other achranim means that the Rambam is against the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say beferish that the din of oinig only applies to Shabbos, does not apply to Yontif. That's a, some say it's a problematic Rambam, others say it's a problematic Gemara. It depends how you look at it. Okay. Because we usually say, we're so used to the Rambam, so we said the other day, Chalamoy, there's a din of Simcha, but there's no din of Kibbut V'yani. Yontif! There's not only a din of Simcha, there's a din of Kibbut V'yani also. But Dick Morris seems to say, there ain't no din of Kibbut V'yani on Yontif. So what are you going to distinguish between Chalamoy and Yontif? How come on Yontif there is a Chiv Suda, and Chalamoy there is no mitzvah to have a Suda? It's a problem. So we usually say because of Kibbut V'yanik, but according to the Gemara, it's a problematic Gemara. So the Gemara is problematic anyway. The Rambam is also problematic. They're both problematic over here. So the Rambam quotes from the Yerushalmi that regarding Bishul, that Bishul is Koveya, the person cooks the tevel, and then he eats it, even though it's before Rias Pnei Abayis, that's called Achilas Keva. And his Chayv to be Mafish Trumas Amaisa, before he wants to eat it, that's only if he does bishul bikli. Bishul bikli sheni doesn't count. There's no bishul bikli sheni, so it's not achilas keva unless it's yad nichbis bo. If it's only yad soledis bo, then it's only bishul bikli rishon, not bikli sheni. But if it's yad nichbis, then there is bishul bikli sheni. So that's the Rambam that the Chayyodim quoted. The Chayyodim had a chumra that the Mishnah Berurah quotes for dava pashut. The chumra of the Chayyodim is not so dava pashut at all. Chayyodim himself says that it's a chumrah. Nikir Adin is not so. And the Chazanish writes that the Chayyodim said himself it's a chumrah. That if you have, if you're making tea, so you pour the water from a kettle, you put it in a klisheni, and then you want to put in, let's say, a tea bag where the tea was not cooked before. So the Chayyodim is concerned that maybe this bishul be klisheni because the water is so burning hot. Usually people who drink tea drink the tea very burning hot. So this bishul b'klisheni if it's ad nichvis bo, based on this Rambam in Hilchas Trumas, and the Rambam is quoting a Yerushalmi, that there is bishul b'klisheni if it's ad nichvis. The truth of the matter is that the Rishonim only have it over there by tevel, and the Chayyodim says why? Because there are so many different things that are koveya. Melech is Kaveya, Nekach is Kaveya, Shabbos is Kavas. So many different things. Bishul is Kaveya. It's not Bishul, it's not only a din of Bishul. Bishul is a form of Achilas Keva. Yishalmi says, if you do Bishul, be Klisheni, be Anichvizda, Zagam can Kaveya. But it doesn't mean it's not a Hechrich. That there's always in Kala Tarakula there's Bishul Biklisheni if it's Yad Nichvizbo. So the whole din in Hilchah Shabbos is only a Chumrah. It's not fair that the Mishnah Berurah writes it Pashut. He writes the din in the text, and then he writes in the Sharatzion, he writes for the Marmok and writes Pashut. It's not Pashut at all. The Chayodin came up with this Chumrah based on a Rambam, and he says himself that it's only B'Teras Chumrah. So one could have come up with a different shir. One could have said that there is hagola v'klisheni, but one could have required that the water should be anichlisbo. But that we don't require like that. We assume whenever the bleel is aydei klisheni, so the hagola can be aydei klisheni. So we say that it's sufficient. Hagola v'klisheni we assume is enough with yad soledisbo. The Achranim have a chumrah that if a person is kashering, if you have a stainless steel sink and you want to kasher it for Pesach, so you have to have. The whole concern is that maybe it was a balei chametz aydei iroi. Maybe you poured some chametz dika soup on the sink, so you want to kasher aydei iroi. They say when one is kashering aydei iroi, you have to pour the burning hot water on every inch. He said the other day, the Rabbeinu Tam has in Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, Rabbeinu Tam has a kula that if you have barrels of stam yenom that you have to kasher, so you can kasher either aydei mila v'yiri gimel yamim, or if you don't have so much time. You don't have 72 hours to waste. You have to kasher it quickly. So then you do hagolah ayde irui. So one would have required hagolah de irui, take a barrel with burning hot water and touch each inch of the way. So the Rabbeinu Tam is making, if you pour the burning hot water in the barrel, and then you roll the barrel, that's also called irui. So Tosfos is upset about this kula of the Rabbeinu Tam, even though we have a lot of kulas, and echshe kelim av stam yenam, because Tam Yenim is only the Rabbanim. We're not talking about the real Yain Nesach that's Asim and Atur. The Rambam holds Yain Nesach as Asim and Atur. And he counts it in the Taryag Mitzvahs, that you're not allowed to drink Yain Nesach and the Mokker in the Pasuk, the Mokker and Chumash for this Avera, the Araisa, to eat Tam Yenim, to drink Tam Yenim is the Pasuk, Yish to Yain Nesicham. It doesn't say Yish to Yain Nesicham, that's in Hazinu, no? It doesn't say there, it's Asa Lishtas Yain Nesicham. It's describing the Avodah Zarah, that the Avodah Zarah drinks the Yein Nesicham, the Jews worship the Avodah Zarah, and the Avodah Zarah was drinking the wine. So it's problematic. How can the Rambam quote that in the Sefer HaMitzvahs? That's the mocker for the Issa Beraisa of drinking Yayin Nesach, Yish the Yein Nesicham. So the Ramban is Masig, Ramban often has Hasogas on the Ramban, Ramban is Masig, and he disagrees. He says not only is Yein, not only is Stam Yein, I'm only with the Rabban, he claims that Yayin Nesach is also only with the Rabban. It's not an Issa Beraisa. Okay. So that's a different story, but that's the Raisa de Rabbanon. But Stam Yenim for sure is only the Rabbanon. And the Gemara has a list of kulas and Hechshe Kelim and Stam Yenim because it's an Issa de Rabbanon Kal, even though it has to do with Avodah Zarah. We'll more makel in Hechshe Kelim, like the kula, that if you do Mila Mira Gimel Yamin, that constitutes a Hechshe on the Kelim because they're Balei B'tzainen, even if it's a Klicheres. So that kula, the Shach says in the second Chelik Yerodeh, that kula is only on Hetera Bola. If I have a container that was balea milk or balea fleshik, aydei kavush, you can kasher aydei mili yiru. Or if it was balea chometz, b'tzeinet, you can kasher aydei mili yiru. If it was balea iser, then you cannot kasher. Let's say you had a liquid chazashmals, was nivla into a kli through kavush. So then the shach says we will not be makel to do mili yiru gimel yom. The one exception to the rule is stam yenim, because that's in the bavli, that's the whole mocker, and the bavli is only by stam yenim. Is because Tam Yenim were Mekel. You have other kulas also. After you Beis Chodesh, if you have barrels that contain Tam Yenim, so if they were empty for 12 months, so the Gemara says there's no need to do any kashering at all. By other Trefa Kelim that were not used for 12 months, we do require Hagolah, we do require Hechshe Kelim. The Chacham Tzvi thought, based on this Gemara, that all Kelim are the same. And that's not the accepted opinion. We assume that that's a special kula in Tam Yenim. You have a lot of kulas in Tam Yenim. So the Rabbeinu Tam was Mekel in Stam Yenim. If you did Iroi, if you put burning hot water in the barrel, then you roll the barrel, so that's considered Iroi. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote that the Balei Tosfos were unhappy with that, so we would only be Mekel B'dieved. L'chatchila we would not rely on that. What would you need to make it into L'chatchila do a real Iroi? Pour the burning hot water on every inch of the Kli. So that'll be acceptable. So let's say if you have a kli that was balei ayde iroi, you can do agol ayde iroi, but you have to have an iroi on every point in the kli. But let's say if you have a sink, stainless steel sink, so you can kasher it. If you have an enamel sink, so enamel was a big machlekes in Europe, but it has a din like kli cheres anan. So the meaning is that you don't kasher enamel sinks. But if you have a stainless steel sink, so that you can kasher. That's regular mateches, so that you can kasher. So when you kasher, you should do irui on every spot. So the Achranim came up with a chumre. If you're going to first do irui on the walls of the sink, so then the hot water, the burning hot water, is going to roll down to the floor of the sink. So then it's going to cool off after a while. It's not going to be malarisicha. So the water in the kettle is still malarisicha. Then you're going to pour the water in the kettle on the floor of the sink after first pouring water on the side. So you're going to have this cooled off water on the floor of the sink. So then when you pour the burning hot water on, it could be that the burning hot water will cool off by the time it reaches the floor of the sink, because it has the water there that's already no longer mala babut. So that's what the Achrayim came up with, an idea, a chumra, that when you're kashering the sink, you should first kasher the floor of the sink by pouring burning hot water. And then afterwards, pour the water on the sides of the sink. Because if you pour the water on the sides first, that water will collect on the bottom of the sink and it will cool off slightly. Then when you pour the burning hot water on the floor, could be, well, that will not be a valid hagola. Approximately, okay. Approximately. We're not make like a Rabbeinu Tam said. Rabbeinu Tam school, it was only by Stam Yenim. He wouldn't say it by Treifus either. But we're not machmed that it has to be exactly every spot. You pour like this. And you assume that you got every spot approximately. No, so you have, sometimes you have a problem. Let's say I'm concerned that maybe when I cooked spaghetti, I cooked noodles last day, so then when I put the noodles on the strainer, so the hummus stick of water was nibla into the sink, so that didn't kasher with iri. So the oblia was on the iri. But sometimes some of the noodles themselves fell on the sink. So the noodle itself is a dover gush. And a dover gush doesn't have a din, we are marking a dover gush, doesn't have a din of klisheni. It doesn't go down. You don't say iri is slightly lower than klisheni. Klisheni is lower than iri. The three madregas of klisheni, iri, klisheni, is only a liquid. The solid, the machna kozman, that the solid is still yatzah lettuce, has the status of klivishim. So chunks of noodles may have fallen on the bottom, on the floor of the sink. Very hot, is yatzah lettuce. So then, hagola with iri will not be sufficient. So what are you going to do? You can't take the sink and put it into a pot. What are you going to do? So that's what the Rishonim came up with in Einfall. If you have an Evan Melubenes, if you have a burning hot, if you take a stone or you take a brick and you put it inside a furnace and it's going to be burning hot, and I put that stone on the sink, and you're going to put the stone on the sink, it's going to be burning hot. Then you're going to pour burning hot water on that, so the burning hot water will have the status of a kli rishon. It won't be a iruy. When you're pouring from a kettle, that's iruy. Iruy is not good to do a hagola if the sink was baleya from a chunk of noodle. So if you put an Evan Melubenes on it, and then you pour burning hot water on the Evan Melubenes, so that burning hot water is elevated to the level of klivishim. You don't just treat it like iri, it's treated, so if it's the water becomes a klivishim, then it's a good hagala, even for the pliya that was like a double gush. The worst it can be is they treat it like a klivishim. But no, in normal cases, you don't use an Evan Melubenes. It's only if you're really concerned about that. Hagola with steam was a big issue in Europe, and machlokes whether you can do hagola with steam. So the generally accepted opinions, what is it? It says in the Tshuvas Beis Shlomai that you can only do hagola with steam if the bliya was ayidei steam. But if the bliya was directly ayidei kli rishon, then hagola with steam is not sufficient. What's accepted as a kula is Rav Moshe Feinstein has a kula. A lot of people are using that kula now. Seems that it's safer. More safe to use that kula. If you have a steam, you have a gadget that shoots off steam, a steam jet, whatever you call it. Live steam. So you're not supposed to do hagola with steam. if it had a bliya, you have a kli that had a bliya with kli rishon, so you shouldn't be do a bliya with steam. It shouldn't do a hagola with steam. So if you hold the steam till the water condenses on the kli, you don't just hold it for a second and keep on going like this. You hold the steam on the kli till the water condenses, till the steam condenses, turns back into water. And then you still hold the steam on top of that water. So the steam cooks up the water, so then it's a hagola with water, not a hagola with steam. So that water has the status of kli rishon. If I have, let's say I have gigantic kelim that I can't fit into a pot to do hagola. So let's say I have a bathtub. I have a big tub full of water. How are you going to get a bathtub? The water in the bathtub is going to be ayde iri. It's going to become a klisheni. So let's say I have a bathtub, a tub full of water that's klisheni. I turn on the faucet, water that's klisheni. But then I take a steam jetty and I hold the steam on top of the water. And I cook up the water so that the water is burning hot. But I cook it up, I make it even hotter. Now the whole water is malababur. So now the water just became a klivishan. Same over here. If you're going to use this steam, apparently people like this new thing. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rishonim will say that you shouldn't do Hagola with Chamei Tverya. You should only do Hagola with burning hot water that it was heated Al Yidei Ha'esh. So if you have an electric coil that's red, so that's considered Al Yidei Ha'esh. If you have an electric thing that's not red, so that's like Chamei Tverya. But if it's so the element, I don't know, the element that you immerse, does that become red?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't become red.
It doesn't become red because they painted it over so you shouldn't see the red? So that's
so
is it really
extends steel.
Yeah. So the Shahada says, is it really red on the bottom? So then it's ash. But if it's not red, then it's like Chamei Tverya, then it's not considered Toldos Ash. So we're Machmir, not the Kasha with Chamei Tverya.
Person
has two sinks next to each other. He wants the kasha, one for the base, one for the other one. They're both metal. You can concern about chametzoso chamkulo. If it's really one big sheet of metal, just dips once and then dips twice. Chametzoso chamkulo has a limit. We don't say kulo all the way kulo. Try it out. Put burning hot water on one sink and then touch the other sink. See how far the heat goes. Not going to go so far. We would not apply chametzoso chamkulo. Goes 2 inches, 3 inches. Doesn't go 2 feet away.
So then we require Kabbalah.
If you want to do Libun, you may. And then it says in the Ramah that then it's sufficient with Libun Kal. You wouldn't need Libun Chum. It doesn't have to be 950, would be enough with 550. But the Libun has to be, blowtorch has to be a Libun de Emeth. A lot of people use a blowtorch, they just go quickly. So the whole thing is a fake. You have to hold it long enough till the metal becomes 550 or 950 if you need that. Just to hold it quickly like this, that's not called Libun. I remember the first time I tried to kasher the oven when I got married and I had to kasher the oven, so I decided I'm going to try to do Libun with a blowtorch. So I borrowed someone's blowtorch. So I started to hold it till the thing is going to get burning hot. The metal started to collapse. It's just not going to work. Most metals you can't use. A lot of metals you can't use a blowtorch. It's going to get destroyed.
Could one use those steamers that they use for clothing because they heat up based off water in the?
You have to test it out to see if it makes the water malaba boys. If it makes the water.
Yeah, but the ash is not red hot. No, red hot ash boiling up the water.
No, it's not.
What's
electricity.
The source of the heat?
It's electricity. Same idea, it's just
and it's also not red.
Of course, no, it's electricity.
Well, a lot of times electricity, let's say an electric bulb. You have a filament that's red, so that's called aish.
No, this just boils up water.
It boils up water and then steam comes from
steam
around
the top.
Then we treat it like chami tveri. If it's heated, but it's not chami ho'eish, then we're machmen not to do agola with chami tveri. So in that same parsha where the Torah has in Parshas Matos by after Mechemis Midyan, where the Bnei Yisrael were commanded to do kashering with Hagola and with Libun, and then we have the other parsha in Parshas Tzav about Hagola, that's why it's in Shulchan Aruch, the Mefarshim say, that's why Parshas Tzav is always before Pesach, because it has all the laws of Hagola. The laws of Hagola are relevant to Pesach. So the Chumash in Parshas Matos has the other mitzvah, Ach B'mei Nido Yischato. And Rashi quotes from the Gemara, "B'mei ado Yusuf, b'mei dinam ayim shahanida tovelas b'hem," that you have to have tefilas kelim in addition. So that's a big machlokes to Rishonim. B'mei dinam ayim shahanida tovelas b'hem, is that the pshuto shel mikra, or is that, or should we assume, "Mei dinam ayim shahanida tovelas b'hem"? Tagmukul is writes the pshuto shel mikra, "Mei ado Yusuf." Ach b'mei nida yischata means that all of the kelim will be tamei meis, because they were dead bodies, there was a war going on, so there are dead bodies all over the place. So ach b'mei nida yischata means you have to do hazor shlishi shvi and then be tovel a kelim in the mikvah, like the people, the Jewish people who became tamei, had to have hazor shlishi shvi then be tovel in the mikvah. So the kelim also had to have hazor shlishi shvi and then be tovel a kelim to remove the tumas ameis from it. So the Targum Onkelos claims b'mei nida yischata b'mei ado yusa. Yischata means you should have the tariff and the tumas meis. So you can still say like the Targum Onkelos, that's a pshuto shel mikra, and what the Gemara says is an additional level of interpretation, a drosh of the Torah Shabbat, but it's still derais. So that's a big machlokes, that's a big question, whether tefilas kelim is really deraisa derabbanan. The Gemara in the last daf in Avodah Zarah talks as if it's a real din deraisa. That's how it's assumed in Shulchan Aruch. And in the Ramban there's a stira. The Ramban is a Ramban in one place, Ramban Chumash writes that it's only with the Rabbanim. And the Ra'on, the Berak HaBayis on the Torah HaBayis quotes the Ramban who said that it's their rights. So there's an issue, it's a question what the Ramban know. It's usually assumed in Shulchan Aruch, it's usually assumed that Tfilas Kelim, Kli Mateches is their rights, Kli Schuches is with the Rabbanim. Why Kli Schuches is the Rabbanim? Some Achrayim say, where did they get that wild idea from? Whoever came up with such a ridiculous idea that Kli Schuches is Rabbanan. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. The last daf in Avodah Zarah. That the Gemara says that the Chachamim required Tfilas Kelim on Kli Schuches because if the Schuches breaks, you can melt it back together, you can fix it again. So it's similar to Kli Mateches. So therefore you need Tfilas Kelim. So most of the Paschim assume that means Medir Rabbanan, because it's similar to Matech. So there is slight coolness in Kli Zechuches and Hagolas Kli Zechuches over Kli Mateches because of the fact that it's only with Rabban. But one of the dinim that applies equally to Kli Mateches and Kli Zechuches is that a cotton is not neman on Tfilas Kelim. A lot of times before Pesach everybody buys new pots and pans and so on. So usually they send the little children before Bar Mitzvah, the boys and the girls, send them to the mikveh. That's their participation. They send the little children to the mikveh, they should be tovel l'kelim. Then they bring it back to the mother, and the children tell the mother that they were tovel l'kelim. So even if they're wonderful children, they're very religious children, but the din says that they're not nemanim. Before Bar Mitzvah, you're not nemanim. The only shaila is if the child is going to tell me after Bar Mitzvah that he was tovel l'kelim before his Bar Mitzvah. So if it's only the Rabbana, Eilan nemanim l'hoyed begadlam asher obekotten. That's the mission at the end of the second parak in Ksuvas. A cotton shehigdil would be neman on a dinder rabbanu, but the cotton doesn't have the manas while he's still a cotton. Doesn't have the manas to say. So this dinder tefilas kelim is a question.
Even on gabbav, it's okay.
A god like Mar Gabbav says it's okay. Even a nachri, even if a nachri does the tefila, but the Yisrael is watching, then it says it's okay. One could have argued the point, but that's what it says in the mechaber that a goy can be tovel kelim. To be tovel kelim for tuma, even if it falls into the mikvah by itself, is good. But for Tfilas Kelim, for the mitzvah Tfilas Kelim, one could have argued the point that you need kavanah, it's a geirus on the kli. So one could have argued you need kavanah, the one who does the tefillah. So the mechaber it says not so. That if a goy does the Tfilas Kelim in the presence of Yisrael, that's acceptable. There's an issue on all the Tfilas Kelim. You only need Tfilas Kelim if it once belonged to a nochri. If it never belonged to a non-Jew, then there's no mitzvah Tfilas Kelim. So the question is, what if it belonged to a corporation all along? It was manufactured by a non-Jewish corporation, and then the distributor is a non-Jewish corporation, and then the storekeeper is a non-Jewish corporation. So the Din of the Machlusa declares that the kelim that belong to a corporation it's not the same as a shutfus. It does belong to the particular owners. The shareholders in the corporation own shares in the corporation, and the corporation in turn owns the kelim. So the corporation is not a Jew, it's not a goy. It's a fictitious, imaginary concept. It's what we would call a chal shem bar. So that was a big machlokes in Europe, whether the halacha recognizes this din of the machus of corporation. The halacha does recognize sometimes such a bailus, bailus of tzedakah, bailus of hekdesh, as a chal shem bailus. But the shad is this particular chal shem bailus, which was an invention of the din of the machus, do we recognize this or not? So that's a big shiloh. That's why it's a big question whether it's ever right to recite a bracha on any tefillas kelim. Could be that all the kelim always belonged all along to corporations. They never really belonged to a non-Jew. So that's why some hold back from saying a bracha on any tefillas kelim. If you have a can opener, it says you don't need tefillas kelim. If you have a napkin holder, it says you don't need tefillas kelim. You only need tefillas kelim on a kli that holds food. On the lid of a pot that you cook soup in, so the lid of the pot is considered that it holds the food. Without the lid, all the soup would evaporate. But if you have a candy dish, and the lid is just to keep the dust from falling in, or to keep the children from sticking their hands in all the time, to make it a little more difficult for the children to take candy, so the lid does not contain any of the food, so then the lid does not need to feel skin.
Can you say again, what's that mean by a
cotton? A cotton shehigdil.
By
Matechas, he's not Neman, even not Shehigdil. By the Matechas that didn't arise, the cotton Shehigdil would not be Neman, right. And by Kleis Chuchas, which is only the Rabbanon, let's say the kid's bar mitzvah is going to be Parshas Tzav. His bar mitzvah is Friday, and they're going to have a big party on Shabbos Parshas Tzav, and they need forks and knives. So the mother sent the kid to be Tovel Kelim on Monday, but we're not going to use the Kelim till Shabbos. So now the kid calls Mom, the kid is a cotton, he doesn't have that money. But then after his bar mitzvah, so he is Neman. So he is bar mitzvahs on Friday and Shabbos, they're having the party. I'm going to use the kelim on Shabbos. So then the cotton has Nemanis. If it's glasses, let's say glasses. If it's metal silverware, that's tefillas kelim deraisa, we assume. So then the cotton shehigdil would not have Nemanis. That's a question whether each day Cyrus. No. There's a question. The Gemara says you have to check the Shtei Cyrus by Chalitza and by a get. That the Eidim should sign on a get when it's a Dovish of the Erva, it says you have to check the Shtei Saris. So some Achrayim extended it that all Dinim Daraisa you have to be buried by Shtei Saris. So that's if you're sure that it's a Din Daraisa. We're not so convinced, even in Tfilas Kelim, Akli Matechas, we're not so convinced. The Rambam Chumash says that the Pshat in the Pasuk is the way the Unkula says, the Me'ado Yusa goes on Hazor Shlishi Shvi, and he thinks that this whole Drosha is only an Asmachta. The Ni'imayim Shanira Tadavus Ben. He thinks that it's only with the Rabban. So yeah, I don't think you have to be buddy for Shtei Sair or something. There is a suffix in Rishon, big machlokes in Rishon. What's the din of a sakan shal shchita? You have a kli which is used for preparation of the food, but it's so far in advance of the final eating of the food. If you have a pot that you cook the food in, that for sure need tefillas kelim. If you have glasses that you drink the food in, you have spoons and forks and knives that used to eat the food, to hold the food that you need tefillas kelim. But if you have a sakan shal shchita, that's so far in advance, that that's a suffix, so it should be tevel that without a bracha. Well, let's say on Pesach, when they make matzah, so they have an instrument that makes holes in the matzah, so they shouldn't blow up, it shouldn't turn into chametz. That's also a suffix. That's so far in advance of the fact that it's all raw stuff. It's not sure I can ever use it on cooked food. The raider, the thing that makes the holes, you never use on cooked food. So that's so you table that without a bracha, because that's a suffix. Regarding mechiras chametz, there is a big. If I put my chametz in a box and I give it to the nachri and he takes it into his apartment, so that's the best mechiras chametz he can do. The problem is that we have so much chametz. All the Jews have so much chametz. They're going to bring all the chametz to the shul, to the rabbi. It's going to the guy will need 10 tow trucks to take everybody's chametz. So we leave all the chametz in our homes. And we make a kinyan on metaltalim that we're not giving over to the nachri. He doesn't take it with him and leave it in his house. So how exactly is he koinah? So the Mishnah Berurah refers you to the Ketos HaChoshen, where they talk about selling Behema HaMavakeres, the same issue. If a Jew owns a farm, and the cow is about to give birth for the first time, and it's a 50-50 chance, they may give birth to a Zohar, may give birth to an Akeva, give birth to a Zohar, so as a Kedusha, Kor Behema Torah, you can't, with no Beis HaMikdash, you can't be Makrovit, but you have to wait till it gets a Mum, and you're not allowed to be Matal Mum by a dime, so it's going to be a pain in the neck. It's also be Gizub HaVoidah. It's going to be a mikshol. So Taisus recommends, Taisus and Chorus and Abdallah recommends that Bizman Azeh, because we're concerned about the mikshol, it's a mitzvah to make a shut for sakum. Bizman Shem Beis HaMikdash HaYikam was considered an aver to make a shut for sakum, because you're doing a harome in order to pat yourself in the mitzvah of Bechor Beim HaTorah. But Bizman Azeh, it's a mitzvah to do the harome, because the harome is in order to avoid violation of the avera of Gizav HaVoidah, not to be nene from the Hegdash. So they had this institution of selling the behema, or part of the leg of the behema HaMavakeres to a Nochri. So how exactly they do a mechira? See, if you give the behema HaMavakeres to the Nochri, he walks off with when he takes it to his farm, to his barn, so that's great, no problem. For sure he's going to, he walked off with it, he has it. But they didn't do it like that. They sold the shutfis to the Yakum, the behema stays in the Jewish farm, and they only sold one leg, or an inch of flesh of a leg, they would sell to the Nochri. So how exactly do you sell a behema HaMavakeres? So that's a big discussion that the Ktzos discussed, that the Ktzos has in Choshen Mishpat. In the days of the Ktzos, they didn't yet have the institution of Mechiras Chametz the way we have it today, that everybody sells their Chametz. Few people sell. So the Ktzos only discusses selling behema HaMavakeres. By the time the Mishnah Berurah was written, in the early 1900s, so it was already so nafut, it was so widespread that everybody did Mechiras Chametz. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah has to go through it a little bit. So he tells you, go look in the Ktzos about selling behema HaMavakeres. So Lamaisa, we do six kinyonim. Why do we need six kinyonim? Ain't kinyon achai kinyon, no? Once it belongs to the guy, what are you making another kinyon for? It's not a mitzvah min hamufcha to make six kinyon. The reason why we make six kinyon is because each kinyon is questionable whether they're really good. So one kinyon is, according to the laws of New York State, you can transfer ownership of metaltalin just by an oral declaration. I hereby declare that it belongs to you, and you have to pay me the value of the automobile, the value of the chametz. If I'm selling real estate, so according to the Din Machusa, you have to have something written, you have to have recorded. If he's selling metaltalim, so according to the Din Machusa, he can be kind of about that. So that's one kinyan that we do, the Din of the Machusa. So what's wrong with that? So that's a question whether the kinyan Din Machusa is only good midrabbanon, or it's even good benatur. If it's only good midrabbanon, so that's the question. Maybe a kinyan derabbanon doesn't help to solve an issue deraisa. So that's why, in addition to the kinyan of Dina de Malchusa, we make a kinyan kifi minigam dina. Minigam dina is that Dina de Malchusa means the government made it into a kinyan. Minigam dina means that the minig has it as a kinyan. So according to the minig, we shake hands. In some businesses, when you shake hands, that clinches the deal. Even though on the books there is no such law in Dina de Malchusa, that's a kinyan kifi minigam dina. So that's what traditionally they used to shake hands with the Nochri. The Chassam Sofer writes he used to have a chumrah. Instead of selling to a non-Jewish man, he would sell to a non-Jewish woman. He doesn't explain what he did with the shaking of the hands. Okay, someone just published a whole essay in the Flatbush Torah Journal, Chakira, an English Torah journal. Is it prohibited? Is it really a Torah violation to shake hands with a non-Jewish, with a woman, with a non-Jewish woman? Okay, so we got to read it to find out what he has to say about it.
Why was he mad about that?
Dafka woman. We'll get to that. So there's a kinyan kifi minigamdina. So again, that's a machlekes achrayim. Some achrayim hold the kinyan minigamdina. That's a kinyan min haTorah, and dina machusa is only a kinyan min derabbanan. Some hold the reverse. No, dina the machusa makes a kinyan. That's min haTorah, and a kinyan kifi minigamdina. That's only min derabbanan. Others hold they're both min derabbanan. Others hold they're both min haTorah. Different opinions. So because there are those who say that the kinyan kifi minigamdina is only a kinyan min derabbanan. And those who hold that the kinyan of the Rabbanah is not good enough on the level, is not recognized on the level of their Isa, so they're still going to have a problem of violation of Rabbi Matzeh. So that's why we look for additional kinyan. So we do another kinyan, we make a kinyan chalipin. What can be better about chalipin? The Nochri gives his handkerchief to the rabbi is representing all the balabatim. In exchange for the rabbi's acceptance of the handkerchief, he's makn all the chametz to the goy. So it's not gewaldig. It says l'kaim kol dover. It says chalipin works in anything and everything. So the Shachan Yerideya has a suggestion that Chalipin does not work by Nochrim. Because it says, V'zos Lefanim B'Yisrael. The Ritva says like that. In the beginning of Kiddushin on Dav Gimel, where Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natam, that Kinyan Chalipin does work by a Nochri, Rabbi Natam used to be a money lender and he used to send a Nochri to collect the debts from the other Nochri. So he used to make a Kinyan Chalipin, Tosfos says, rather Rabbi Natam to make a Kinyan Chalipin, and he says Chalipin does work by a Nochri. So the Ritva over there develops this idea. The Shach didn't have the Ritva. The Shach and the Ritva both came up with the same idea. It was also the fun of Israel that Kinyan Chalipin doesn't work by a Nochri. So that's questionable. So in addition to Kinyan Chalipin, you do a Kinyan Mo'os. The Nochri pays for the Chametz. So Mo'os is a question whether what's kind of by Yisrael. The Gemara says on the first daf and the second parak in Mechares, whatever Kinyan works by Yisrael, Amitalkalim, between two Jews, so whenever there's a non-Jew involved, so the opposite Kinyan will work. The relationship between Jews and non-Jews is always different from the relationship between a Jew and a Jew. It always has to be different. So if you hold that Torah Mois Kainas, if you hold Mois is Kainas between two Jews, then La'akum, only Meshicha will be Kainas. So most of the Rishonim hold that, like Rabbi Yechanan, Mois Kainas Dvar Torah. So by an Akum, Mois would not be Kainas. Rashi paskins like Rish Lakish, that Dvar Torah Meshicha Mufuresh is Menat Torah. Because Rabbi says there in Perak Azov, that the Krah Masnita Messiah the Rish Lakish. There's a Pasuk and there's a Mishnah in Me'ila that support Rish Lakish's opinion that Dvar Torah Meshicha, Meshicha is Kaina Meshicha Mefuresh is Menat Torah. So if Rabbi says that there's a Pasuk and a Mishnah that support Rish Lakish, the Rashi takes it that Rabbi is Paskin like Rish Lakish. Because it's all over Shas disagrees with Rashi. No, Rabbi just meant to say that L'chayra, the simple superficial reading of the Pasuk, the superficial reading of the Mishnah Me'ila seem to support Rish Lakish, but it's only L'chayra. Truth of the matter is it doesn't support Rish Lakish, then it's like Rabbi Yechanan. But according to Rashi, it's not so. Rashi holds that Meshicha is Koine whenever the both parties involved are Jewish, and then Mois are Koine. So according to Rashi, if you make a Kinyan Mois, the Chometz already belongs to the Naji. But so many Rishonim disagree with this Rashi. So you can't rely on Mois alone. So we already have four Kinyanim, and we're still not sure whether the Chometz belongs to the Naji. So in addition to these four, we do another two Kinyanim. The other two Kinyanim can't stand on their own. The Kinyan with Fidin and the Machusa, he said, according to the laws of New York State, the Chometz should belong to you and you have to pay me money. So that Kenyan stands on its own. The Kenyan of Minig HaMdini, shake hands, that Kenyan stands on its own. Chalipin stands on its own. And Moya stands on its own. But each one has a pickbook. The next two Kenyanim don't stand on their own. The next Kenyanim are Agav or Kenyan Chotzer. So you have to first either rent or give over ownership of some karka, and then either agav that karka or chotzer, if the chometz is in that karka, is in that location, then you have a kinyan chotzer. Agav the din is that you don't need tzivur. You don't need that the chometz should be sitting on the karka which you're renting to the nochri. If you would only do the fifth kinyan of agav, then you wouldn't require that you should rent the room in which the chometz is located, because we're not so sure about agav. So the sixth kinyan that we do is kinyan chotzer. So chotzer requires that the chometz should be in the chotzer of the nochri. So in order to do the agav and the chotzer, you have to make a kinyan to rent the chotzer to the nochri. So how do you rent the chotzer to the nochri? Also, you make a kinyan chalipin. So the goy will give a handkerchief to the rabbi, in exchange for which the rabbi will rent to the nochri the room in which the chometz is located. So he'll be able to do both chotzer and agav. Yeah, but we just said before that chalipin is questionable, but the chalipin works by the nochri. So we make another kinyan on the karka, we make shtar. So the rabbi writes that, I hereby rent you the closets and all the balabatim have to authorize this. Okay, rabbi can't do it on his own. If the balabos authorizes the rabbi, in addition to selling the chametz, also to rent the closet in which the chametz is located, or to rent the whole room in which the chametz is located. So then the rabbi does the rental to the nochri, ayyidei shtar, to ayyidei chalipin. Chalipin is questionable, and shtar is also questionable. So we hope and pray that the combination of both together, one or the other, will work. Shtar and chalipin to rent the room to the nochri, And then we say either agav, either the kinyan agav or the kinyan chatzah. What do you need agav and chatzah? Because each one has a pickbook. So agav, the Tzais HaChayshin has a question that the Tzais in Bava Kama has a chidush, and the agav is only the rabbanon. Tzais in Kiddushin says that agav is minatir. Tzais in Bava Kama contradicts it. They say that agav is only the rabbanon because the whole source is a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim and Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah lo yafinon. So whatever says in Divrei Hayomim, Tosfos says maybe it's not a din d'oraisa, maybe it's only a din d'rabbanon. So if one should assume that agav is only d'rabbanon, so then the Tzais HaChayshin raises a question, maybe they never instituted agav, l'tovas anochri. Maybe only a Jew from a Jew. But a Jew should acquire ownership of metalpalim, agav, karka from a Jew. A non-Jew should be granted from a Jew through agav, which is a kinyan that they invented d'rabbanon. So the Tzai says maybe they never instituted the kinyan, l'tovas anochri. So the agav has a pickbook. So the last kinyan we do, well, that's the way I arranged it. The last kinyan we're doing is kinyan chotzer. So what's wrong with chotzer? Chotzer is not gewaldig. So the issue is the Birchas HaZevach threw in a monkey wrench. Birchas HaZevach lived the same time as Rabbi Yosef Karo. Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Tzvas, and Birchas HaZevach lived in Poland. So he was Rabbi, what was his name? Shmuel Aaron Kaidanov. Birchas HaZevach is a sefer on Kotchin. That's printed, the Chofetz Chaim reprinted a whole bunch of Svarim on Kotchin. It's called Asifas Kenan. And he has a whole introduction why it's so important to learn Kotchin is Manazeh, to prepare for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Birchas HaZevach is one of those Achayim. He has Shadus HaTshuvas also. He has in one of his Tshuvas, the Ktzais quotes his Tshuva from the Birchas HaZevach. And since the Gemara says in Bava Metzia in the first parak, the Chotzer is kind of mitam shluchoi, it's considered as if the Chotzer is the shliach of the Bala Chotzer, and there's no shlichas la'akum. So therefore, a Nochri cannot be kind of with the Kinyan Chotzer. That's what he came up with. So the Tzais and the Nesiv is both asking, it's against an offering of Gemara and Avodah Zarah. The Gemara talks on Avodah Zarah. I'm selling wine to a Nochri, so if I put the wine in his barrel, his barrel is kind of with a kinya chotzer. Not only is chotzer shaladim kind of loy, kelev shaladim akonim kinya chotzer, v'chom makam sheyesh lo vishus lahanicha. If he put his barrel, if he put his kli in a location where he has the right to leave it there, he's going to leave his barrel in the middle of the street. The guy's going to park his car in the middle of Times Square, middle of heavy traffic. He has no right to park his car there. He has no right to drive there. He has no right to leave his car there. So that's not kind of with a kinya chotzer. A guy puts his carton in a location where I'm going to put my carton in your kitchen. You didn't invite me to come into your kitchen. You didn't give me permission. I'm going to put my carton in your kitchen. So then and a third person is going to put something in the carton. I won't be kind with the kinyachotz. So the Gemara talks about a nochri being kind with the kinyachotz. There, he's kind by my putting the metalkalim into his kli. It's kind of with the kinyan chotzer. So it's beferish in the Gemara that chotzer works by an ocher. So the pashtus is that the Birchas HaZevach is wrong, but we're afraid maybe he has some teretz on the Gemara. So that's why we're not so convinced by the kinyan chotzer. So that's what the Chasam Sofer writes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach Tam, and he always did. The Chiras Chametz he used to sell to an ocheris because the Rambam and the Rif and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin are very talmudic and psak. There's a difference between a man and a woman. Chotzer de gavra is mitam shlucha. Chotzer de itz is mitam yada. Because a woman can become as gareshes how you did get if you put the get into the chotzer of the yisha. Not only benosim biyada, kinyan yad, benosim mikamakam, you put into the chotzer. So chotzer mitam shlucha, so it should only work when it's zach liyadim shleim mefana. One is litaivasa, one is lira'asa. So you don't say, ain't chavim lorim ela befana. So chotzer de itza, a chotzer of a woman is for sure mitam yodoy. I treat it like yodoy. It's a strange psak. That's the Rambam and the Rif and the Shulchan Aruch like that. Shulchan Aruch paskens like this Rambam and Rif. A chotzer de gavra mitam shluchoy, and a chotzer de itza is mitam yodoy. So the Chasam Sofer holds that this carries over by Nochrim as well. By a non-Jewish man, chotzer mitam shluchoy. By a non-Jewish woman, chotzer mitam yodoy. So the whole taina of the Ktzoy is a chotzer mitam shluchoy, shliach shluchoy. Shlicha shouldn't work by a nachri, that's only if it's a man. But if it's a non-Jewish woman, says chatzim itam yodas, that will work. So he says he was always medaktik to sell a chametz to a non-Jewish woman. He said, shook hands with the non-Jewish woman. You got to find out, did he do the way we do? All the six kinyanim, and he shook hands with a glove, without a glove, which hand? Okay. You got to find out.
Is that only if you're standing there?
No, it doesn't have to be standing there. I mean, you need Mayad B'Samach. She has to be standing there to say, can you, oh. It's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. We assume that chotzer is only good by get if the woman is ameres b'tzad chaser, or one day entire is ameres b'toch chaser, not only b'tzad. So that's a tain against the Chassam Sofer. What does it help be selling the chametz to a non-Jewish woman? She's not standing there in the chotzer. It's a good tain. I don't know.
Rabbi Kibeger that also says that the gabi katan, or Schleinger, that says that the gabi katan, we don't say chotzer because of
Vasilei Shlita. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says that if chatzim itam shlucha, then it doesn't work by a cut. Chatzim itam yerot, then it does work. That's the Gemara.
So that Gemara is mashma.
So the Birchas HaZevach assumes the same is true regarding a nachri. And apparently the Ktzais and the Sivis hold that ein shlichas lakam, ein shlichas katan is not the same. Ein shlichas lakatan will not go off chatzim also. Ein shlichas lakam will not go off chatzim. Because a chatzim is not a real shliach. Ein shlichas lakam means shlichas doesn't work. A chatzim is not shliach. But somehow, ein shlichas lekotten doesn't mean shlichas, it means something else. So that's something else will include even chatzim. So there's an essay in Ginas Egos about this. What exactly is the difference between ein shlichas lakam and shlichas lekotten? Why is it that chatzir will be a problem by kotten and won't be a problem by yakum?
On that Gemara, isn't there a vigor that seems to be mashma also that it's real shlichas?
And Yeshua says that you can't learn the Gemara Kipshuto that Chatzim mitam Shluchai. He says Acher Shaita V'Katan can't be a Shliach. A Chatzir is less Seichel than Acher Shaita V'Katan. The Shliach has to be a Bardas. How can you say Chatzim mitam Shluchai literally? So obviously you can't take it literally. So what does it mean? Figuratively. So what does it mean? That's the question. Some of the Rabbanim want to make sure that they have Kosher Eidim deciding the Shtar Mechira. So they get some of the Bnei Torah, the children of the Balabatim, they get them to sign the Shtar Mechira. So that's a problem. The children of the Balabatim are craving to the Baladvarim. So how can they be made on the Shtar Mechira? So they get three witnesses who are not related to each other. So the one who is the child of the Balabasa, he's no good. He's not kosher latest vis-a-vis his father. But then you have the other two Adam. The other kid is also a son of a Balabasa. But the other two Adam are good. There's a Shailav Karva Pasal. Shailav Tishtar is good. If you have three witnesses, and each one is a Karv to one of the Baladinim whose Chametz is being sold over here. So you should get three each. You should get two B'nai Karv from some other shul. Not related, not cousins, and not children, and not the brothers of the Balabatim whose Chametz he's selling. In Europe, some of the Rabbanim had a practice that after the Balabatim would appoint them as Shluchim, they always had some Balabatim who were not so religious, who didn't appoint them as Shluchim. To sell a chametz, so they used to declare Zachli Adam Shleib Befonov. They're going to sell a chametz even of those Balabatim who didn't ask them to do them a favor, because we're going to do them the favor without being asked. Zachli Adam Shleib Befonov. So this is the famous question, right? The Tzai Zachoshim formulated that expression. You only say Zachli Adam, you don't say Zachin Mei Adam. So, and the Chazanish says that the Anak Tzai Zachoshim, the Tzai says that the Rashbo says like that. Rashba in the dark. So the Chazanish claims there never was such a Rashba. No one ever said it. The Ktzais invented it. So that was the question, whether that was acceptable or not. They tried to save people from the Easter of Bayura Bayimotze. So that was in some, as the Chemed writes this up, that some Rabbanim in Europe used to represent the Balabatim, even those who didn't request of them that they should sell a Chama. The minig always was that when the Balabas requests of the rabbi, Balabas doesn't sell his Chama to the rabbi. The rabbi is Jewish. Most rabbis are Jewish. No, Reform. Some of the conservative rabbis in Reform are not Jewish. Some of them are not Jewish. But the Orthodox rabbis, most of them are Jewish. So the minig always was, the Rambam records the minig, Hilchas Mechira. Then when the Balabatim request of the rabbi that he should serve as a shliach, so they make a kinyan chalipin. So how did they do the kinyan chalipin? The rabbi gives a handkerchief to the Balabas, in exchange for which the Balabas gives the rabbi the right of attorney or the right of the representative. Some of the rabbis make a mistake. They're so used to making the kinyan with the Balabatim that they give the handkerchiefs, and when the goy comes, they give a handkerchief to the goy. No, the goy is the kainah. The din is the caliph shal kainah. So when the rabbi wants to be appointed as the shliach, the rabbi is being kainah the right to represent the balabas. So the rabbi is the kainah. So the rabbi, caliph shal kainah, he gives his handkerchief to the balabas. When the goy is kind of the chametz from the rabbi is the makna, the nachri is the kainah. So the nachri has to give, the non-Jew has to give his handkerchief. the rabbi gives the handkerchief, then you're not going to have six kinyan. You're only going to have five kinyan. And two of the five kinyan will also be questionable. The chotzer with the agav. How is the nochri kinyan, the schiris on the karka? Not everybody agrees that it's kinyan with the shtar. Some hold that shtar doesn't work by nochrim, only chalipin. Some hold that chalipin doesn't work, only shtar. So he should be careful to make sure he does the chalipin properly. He has to do b'kelev shal kinyan, the nochri. Nochri is the kinyan both on the karka and on the chametz. Nochri has to give the anchor. So the minig always was, the Rambam records the minig, that when the Bala Batim appoint the rabbis a shliach, the rabbi gives a handkerchief to the Nochri, and thereby the rabbi gives a handkerchief to the Balabas, and the Balabas gives over the power of selling the shlich, the koyach ha-shlichas, to the rabbi. So the question is, you have to give a kli. You have to give a kli sholeh. If you give a broken kli, that's not acceptable. So what does the rabbi give? So the Gemara says, if you give a sudi, give a handkerchief, even if the makna doesn't get the whole handkerchief, if you give the whole handkerchief, it's good. The meaning usually is to give a half a handkerchief, and the makna holding on to half of the handkerchief. So the Gemara says, that's okay. If he's holding on to gimala, gimala, it's boys, that's good enough. So this is a shayla. Gimala, gimala, it's boys, has chashivas if the beged is made for tzemer or pishtin. So years ago, the clothing used to be made from wool. And today, a lot of times it's made from cotton. It's not always wool. A lot of times the clothing is not made from wool. So that's a shayla. There's a din of gimala, gimala, it's boys work. Let's say a handkerchief. A handkerchief is made from cotton. The suits are often made from wool, but the handkerchiefs are made from cotton. So gimala, gimala, it's boys is not enough if it's made from cotton. You've got to have much more. So that's a shayla. Gimel HaGimel is not enough for Kabbalah's Tumah. What about for Kinyan Chalipin, is it enough? So there were those who were machmir about this, because the handkerchiefs are made from cotton, so they would make the Kinyan Chalipin by giving the Balabas the corner of their jacket. I remember, European Rabbanim would always do like that. Rabbi Breuer would always do like that. Give the corner of his, they had handkerchiefs, but all the handkerchiefs were made from cotton. So they would give the handkerchiefs, so they hold on to the beged, so you have Gimel HaGimel, and it's made from Tzemer. So, Shi University is a Shi'ez Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan has a tshuva. So he dug up a needle and a haystack. There's a line in the Taisus in Baba Basra that's not talking about this at all. The end of Baba Basra. The big fat Taisus on the Amud Aleph. So there's one line in the middle of the Taisus. Taisus says that for the purpose of Kinyan Chalipin, it's good if you have Gimel HaGimel HaTzbos, even if the beged is made from Shar Minim, even though it's not Tzemer Pishtim. It's also good. Could be the Piskei HaTosfos also quotes that line. And the Tosfos in the other Baba Basra. So Rabbi Yeshiva University said that it's okay, that if you give a cotton handkerchief, it's also okay.
The
Mini. No, the Rambam says it's a mini. So then the Rambam writes that the mini doesn't make any sense. So they write that the Chazanish never observed the mini, because the mini shtus, the Rambam says it doesn't make any sense. So Rav Soloveitchik was very meticulous about this minute, because he said the Rambam starts off by saying it doesn't make any sense, but then the Rambam explains why it does make sense. So the Rambam explains that the idea of the Kinyan Suter is that the Balabas should, let's say a husband wants to send the shliach to divorce his wife. So also, the minig is that the shliach gives a handkerchief to the husband, and in order that the husband should give him over, the koyach ha-bailus to give over the gift. So that's a minig. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Matir. The first he says, you don't require a kinyan, and the kinyan doesn't even take effect. Ain the kinyan bazet tam. Means it doesn't even accomplish anything. So why do you do it if it doesn't make any sense? So the Rambam explains, it's in order to indicate, in order to demonstrate, that the person really means it, that he's not joking around, that he's doing it b'leiv sholem or b'leiv gomer. So then the Rambam says, therefore, what if the Balabas appoints the rabbi as a shliach, and he says, b'leiv sholem amarti v'gamarti davazet. I really mean it, and I'm not just kidding around. So then there won't even be any need for the minik to give over a kinyan chalipin. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that what happens, every rabbi has an asik. A balabos always calls him up erev Pesach in the morning as he's about to sell a chametz to the nochri. Some balabos always calls him, my father always, every year. Some balabos would call, not always the same balabos every year. Every year would be a different balabos. Someone was out of town, they just came back, I forgot business. They called off in the business at 10 o'clock, erev Pesach in the morning. He forgot to come. They ask you to sell the chametz. They want that the rabbi should sell the chametz with them. So over the telephone, how can you make the kinyan chalipin? So you can't. So you don't need it. So Rav Soloveitchik said no. But the Rambam says there's a minig. So tell the balabas, he should say over the telephone. He should say, "Belev shalom amarti v'gamarti dovezeh," and I really mean it, and I'm not joking around. So then the Rambam says, if he says like that, "Belev shalom amarti dovezeh," and I really mean it, then there's no need for the kinyan chalit. That was one suggestion that he had. Or ask the balabas if there's another Jew there in the office with him. If there's another Jew, then Tosis writes in Kiddushan on Daf Chavav and Beis that you can do kinyan chalipin with zochin le'adam shleiv b'fanam. But instead of the rabbi giving the handkerchief to the balabas, that another balabas give the handkerchief to the first balabas as representing the rabbi. We do it all the time when they fill out the ksuba. So it says the kala should really, the caliph shall kind of, the kala should give her handkerchief to the chassan to be kind of the sefis ksuba, and his chayv is on the nedunya. The kala is not there when they fill out the ksuba. So the rabbi, one of the eidim, gives the handkerchief to the chassan. So that's based on zochin le'adam shleiv b'fanav. So Tosis says in Ksuba that Tosis says in Kiddushin that they always did like that. One opinion is that you need literally the caliph shalkeina and no one else could give a handkerchief. And Tosis says it's not true. They always did like that. Bzman and Gemara did like that. The Gemara has the lashon in Perakazot v'kaninamine. We the undersigned, the Adam used to make that kinyan. We the undersigned made a kinyan. Manu dekashin lemekanya be. Just a few words about Maleches Chalamoid. One is not permitted to do, the principle is one is not allowed to do malacha chalamoid, with a few exceptions to the rule. Whatever is butan yantav is mutan chalamoid, and you have more coolers than that. The Gemara has an expression in Maseches Chagiga. What's the story with chalamoid? It's very unclear. In the Chumash, you can't really figure out what's also what's mutan, even if you, after learning Maseches Maikotan, it's hard to figure out what's also what's mutan. So from the Chumash, for sure you can't figure it out. So the Gemara says, La Masara HaKasuf, the Torah left it up to the Chachamim that they should determine what's muta, what's off. So Taisus in the end of the first parak in Avodah Zarah, on the last daf in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, has two opinions how to read the Gemara. So one opinion is Malachas Chalamoid is Midir Rabbanan. Lo Misara Hakos La Chacham. The Torah left it up to the rabbis to institute the Din Midir Rabbanan. So that's how the Mechaber passes that Malachas Chalamoid is only for Din Midir Rabbanan. And the Ramah adopts the other position. No, this is a din, this expression, this is a concept deraisa. A din deraisa, which is vague, and the Rabbi Shalom leaves it up to the rabbis to determine when it applies, when it doesn't apply. Is a din deraisa. So these are the two opinions and places. The Gemara there in the end of the first parak in Avodah Zarah says that if you rent a farm to a kusi, and the kusi is going to work on the farm, on Chalamoid, so you're in violation of Lifnei Velositei Michshol, because the Kusi is Jewish, and he's not allowed to do the Avodas Hasadah on Chalamoid. He doesn't have a Heter, and he doesn't observe Chalamoid. So Tosfos has two days. There's Lifnei Velositei Michshol and an Avera de Rabbanan. So one opinion in Tosfos says, ooh, from this Gemara you see, we can't yesh lochiach that there's Lifnei Velositei and an Avera de Rabbanan. Some Achronim want to say there'll be a Lifnei Velositei Michshol, and Chachinuch says, yeah. It should be an aver, even though the whole aver Malachas Chalamoid is only the Rabbanan, but the Lifnei and an aver the Rabbanan could be the Reis. Then the other opinion in Tosfos says, no, there is no such thing. Lifnei and an aver the Rabbanan. No, it's a Reis in this Gemara that Malachas Chalamoid is the Reis. Otherwise, how can you talk about Lifnei the Sita Mishnah? So the two days in Tosfos are connected with the other issue. Is there a violation of Lifnei if you machshel the other person and aver the Rabbanan? So the Ramah paskens l'chumer. Machlois the Mechaber and Ramah had a pask. Ramah writes l'chumer that Malachas Chalamoid is the Reis. What's an afkemina? What is the Reis of the Rabban? It's also anyway. So Rabbi Kivegi writes on the bottom of the page on the first sif in Hilchos Chalamoid that the afkemina will chab. What do you do if you have any bai the life shita in the Gemara? The Gemara has a suffix about certain dinim on Chalamoid whether it's also a mutar. So the Mechaber paskens mutar and the Ramah paskens also. So he says that Mechaber and Ramah, that's l'shitasam. Chabah holds Malachas Chalamoid is the Rabbanan. Whenever you have an Ibai Galev Shita, they say Sveka the Rabbanan Lekula. But the Ramah paskins that Malachas Chalamoid is the Raisa, so the Ramah would paskin that Safik, the Raisa would be Lechumen. There's a big Taz, a big Machlokes, the Shari Tshuva has all discussion. You're allowed to play piano on Chalamoid. And Shabbos Yontav, you're not allowed to play piano, Mashmiya Kol. And Chalamoid, the question is, it's not a malacha. Even the Rabban is not a malacha. Just the Zera Shem Yovel Idei malacha. So the Taz wants to be machma, and the consensus among the Achrenim is not so. Whatever is only a Zera, they will never go. There's a thesis in the first parak in Moikotin, about Chalamoid. But Tyson says you're not allowed to ride horse. You're not allowed to ride a horse on Chalamoid because Emish Tamshin Bebalikhan. And the Beis Yosef says, without any Rishonim, he says, I disagree. And Shulchan Aruch, he writes against us. You're allowed to ride a horse.
The Rosh.
What's the Rosh?
The Rosh.
The Rosh is going to tell us by riding a horse?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember. There is a Rosh also about Mekka Chamemka. The Rosh talks about Mekka Chamemka. So he says, Mekka Chamemka is not even a Malacha Midrabbanan. So what did they ask for in a Chol HaMoed? What's the question? If they asked that everything that applies to Shabbos Yom applies to Chol HaMoed, unless you have a Heter, what's the Shai? But the answer is not, because Mekech HaMemker should not be included in the prohibition. It's only a Gzeri Shema Yichtov. If a guy does business, if he writes, then you have he's doing a Malach of writing. But if he's not writing, he just does Mekech HaMemker, he doesn't keep any records. So the Rosh says it really should have been Mutter, because it's only a Gzeri. But they prohibited it, he quotes the Rishami, because otherwise the guy... Chol HaMoed was given to us and we should sit and learn. We should relax and learn. But Chol HaMoed was not given that we should run to business and run business as usual. So they said if there'll be Mata, Mekka Chamemka, so it'll ruin the whole Chol HaMoed. So you see that's the consensus among Achran. Let's say handling Muktzah. We assume it's Mutar Chol HaMoed because Tilkun Muktzah is only a Gzeret, not even a Malacha Midrabbanan. Or a Fuah. Applying medication. So the Machaber quotes a Tosefta, the refuah is mutar Chol HaMoed. We pass the refuah is mutar Yad Vashem Shel Govi is also. So the Kal V'chaimer that is mutar Chol HaMoed. But the Machaber quotes a Tosefta like that to take pills on Chol HaMoed, if they're not treif, to take pills on Chol HaMoed, refuah is mutar Chol HaMoed. Tiltal the Carmelites, that's an issue. They don't understand how come in the Gemara it says you're not allowed to carry on Chol HaMoed, how come today everybody carries? So they all ask that question. So the Pashtus is that we're naive to assume. We generally assume that Ayara Shalano and Adavish is around the rest, it's only a Carmelist. And to carry in a Carmelist, the Gemara has a strange thing. The Gemara assumes that Tilt of the Carmelist is not a Malacha, even with the Rabban, it's only a Gzeira. So that's apparently why the common practice is that people do carry on Chol HaMoed. Those who hold that you can't make an Eir of Manhattan, you can't make an Eir of Flatbush, so they shouldn't carry, because it's a Rishus around the rest. But those who hold from the Erev, so they hold that it's only a Carmelist. And a Carmelist, it's only a Xeris. So they never carried over the Xeris to Chol HaMoed. Yeah, the people dying who never died before, everybody's going to have, there's always going to be a funeral Chol HaMoed. So what's the din if someone dies in Chol HaMoed? So does one rip Kriya or not? So there's a Machloikas HaGoinim and a Machloikas HaRishonim. Migra din we paskin that you do rip Kriya on Chol HaMoed. Some have a minig only Allah Mevalima, and if other relatives die, you don't rip Kriya. So the Ramah says, in Germany they had such a minute. So he says, if you don't have that minute, you don't adopt that minute because it's a peladig minute. The Pashto says that one does rip Kriya Chol HaMoed, even though one does not observe Avelis on Chol HaMoed, because the Gemara says that Kriya Lechud v'Avelis Lechud. Kriya is separate. Take for example, there's no Chinuch for Ketanim, and Avelis also a big Machlekes HaGoinim, and Machlekes HaRishonim. So the Pesach and Shulchan Aruch is the Dogma of Avraham, right? We paskin, there's no Chinuch for Avelis, but there is Chinuch for Kriya, because Kriya Lechud and Avelis Lechud. So one does rip Kriya on Chol HaMoed, even though one would not observe Avelis on Chol HaMoed. The one Kriya that you don't rip on Chol HaMoed is the Kriya by the Kozel HaMaroi. Because the Magen Avraham says that even though Ketanim do rip Kriya, if a relative dies, a Kot Neshigei L'Chinuch rips Kriya, but Kriya on the Kozel HaMaroi, the Ketanim don't do. Because Kriya on the Kozel HaMaroi is a Nihug, it's a form of Nihug Avelis. By Kriya on the Kozel HaMaroi, we don't say Kriya L'Chud V'Avelis L'Chud. Say the Kriya is the new Gavelis. So Ketanim do not rip, children before Bar Mitzvah are not expected, are not required to rip Kriya by the Kozel HaMaroi, and a Chol HaMoed, one is not permitted to rip Kriya by the Kozel HaMaroi. That's a new Gavelis. And the same is true, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, one would not rip Kriya by the Kozel HaMaroi, because Erev Pesach after Chatzos has the din like Yontif. It's that there are more paskins in the end of Yerodein, Hilchos Avelis. Erev Pesach after Chatzos has the din like Yontif, that the one does not observe Avelis then. If one is in the middle of Shiva, so the Chatzos cancels the Shiva. If one is in the middle of Shloshim, so the Chatzos cancels the Shloshim. If they bury someone, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, which I'm sure someone's going to die, someone's going to be buried after Chatzos. So there the meaning is Fakir. There we follow Taisa's Shita, that there is Avelis. So Machloik is Taisa's in the Yor Zeruah. So Taisa holds there is Avelis on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So one would observe Avelis Shah Achas, and then Yontif would cancel. But if the Avelis began before Chatzos, then we make them in the other direction, like the Ozeruah, to assume that the Avelis is terminated when it comes chatzesa there pesa.
What's the pshat pesis that, that you wouldn't be allowed to ride on a horse? He does ask her. Isn't that, wouldn't that be a zera? Why?
Tyson holds like that. Taz holds you're not allowed to play piano or something. All zeras apply unless you have a head to the tzarech hamayit. Has to ride a horse in order to buy something, in order to go somewhere. But it's done for fun. Tyson says you're not allowed to. So others disagree for two reasons. One reason is the Beis Yosef holds it's only a zera. Zeras are mutter achalamayit. Refuah is mutter, tilta muktz is mutter, tilta bekamelos and so on. The other point is the guy wants to ride a horse for fun. So that's tzarech hamayit. Guy wants to go cherry picking. He wants to go apple picking or something. So if you want to do it for fun, even though it's a malach of koitzer, but that's their fun. So if you do it for fun, it's also tzara hamoy. I'll be pashtus.
Even if they don't eat all the apples.
Even if you're not going to eat the apples on Yom Kippur, you're not going to eat all the apples on Yom Kippur. This is a picnic. The children are excited. They want to have fun. So we assume that having fun is also tzara hamoy. If one is Koyma Mesa Berego, someone dies on Chalamoy, then burial takes place on Chalamoy. So the Shiva doesn't begin till after Yontif, but the Ramon, the end of Yoridei, it paskins like the Alochas Gedolos, that the last day of Yontif, all the Goyim say like this, the last day of Yontif, even though one does not observe Avelis, the last day of Yontif counts as the first day of Shiva, so one only has to have 6 days following Yontif, and on the sixth day in the morning, then you say Mixus Ayam Kekulon. Other malachas are specifically spoken of in the Mishnah Ksiva. Mishnah is talking about in Moikah, you're not allowed to write on Chalamoy, unless a guy has to, his tefillin are not kosher, has to go to the Sefer to fix the tefillin. So that's Tzarech Hamoy, so the Sefer is allowed to fix it, otherwise you're not allowed. So you see the Feresh from the Mishnah, the people are wearing tefillin on Chalamoy. So how come there's a Machlokes of Rishayim? So the answer is no. Half of the Tanaim used to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Mishnah goes according to those thoughts. If you're wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so of course you're going to wear tefillin on Chalamoy. Well, our practice, we follow the Tanaim who hold Shabbos and Yom Tov. Lazman tefillin, we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's a major machlokes in the Rishonim, whether you have tefillin on Chalamoy. The Balabata made up their own psak on this, that those who go to work on Chalamoy should wear tefillin. It's like a weekday. Those who don't go to work should not wear tefillin. The Balabata Shetayr is not correct. Either the halacha is that you do wear tefillin, you don't wear tefillin. Going to work is another issue. Are you allowed to go to work? Not allowed to go to work. So you should ask your local Orthodox rabbi to find out. Some people violate the din. They go to work keneged din. But that doesn't mechayev them to wear tefillin. If a guy goes to work on Shabbos, there's no din. There were many Jews who used to go to work on Shabbos years ago. The Hashkama Minyan, all the Orthodox shuls, was for the Jews who had to go to work on Shabbos. So they don't wear tefillin on Shabbos because they plan to go to work. So the Mishnah speaks specifically about the ksiva of the chalamoy, that one is not permitted to write unless he really has a tzarech hamoy, for to have a term paper or something. You're not really supposed to write on chalamoy. It's a big problem.
What about a computer
is also a problem. Computer should be a problem. It's also an issue of ksiva.
Even if you don't pass out anything? Even if you don't print out anything?
Yeah.
Sure.
You
just do it on the screen?
Yeah. It's also nice.
It's not purely easy.
So some aloche, something like Siva, probably mechike. Mechike means hachana of Siva. When he types into the computer, he's preparing the computer to be able to do something out later. So some aloche. The Mishnah says, Igros HaRishus, you're permitted to write. So that's the question, what is Igros HaRishus? So some of the Rishonim say, Smicha. They used to give Smicha Bikzav. So he has Rishus Ladun. Some Rishonim say like that. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Usually assumed, Igros HaRishus means just a letter to say how you'll be your best friend. You want to write a letter, and he's going to read the letter on Yom Tov, so I'd assume Chas Yom Tov Yolam. So the Mishnah talks specifically about Ksivah, and the Mishnah talks specifically about Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, Miyuchad, a special Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, on taking haircuts and washing clothing. Even though it would have been mutter to take care and wash the clothing in Chalamoy, even if Melechus Chalamoy is their ice. But if the guy needs a haircut, wants to look good for Tzarech HaMoed, so Mikra Adina should have been permissible to take a haircut, or his clothes are all dirty. Should have been permissible to wash the clothing in Chalamoed, that's Tzarech HaMoed. So they made a special Gzera de Rabbanon, you're not allowed to do Giluach in Kibbutz Begotten, Kadesh Leikonis Leregel Kishuhu Menuvo. So the Mishnah says, what if there's an Oynes de Muchach, let's say you have baby diapers. Now there's no such thing, everybody uses Pampers. But in the earlier generations, there used to be such a thing as diapers. So the diapers always get dirty. You can't have 5,000 diapers. You don't have unlimited. You have an amount of diapers, and you have to wash the diapers every 5-6 days. You can't have a yont of 8 days in a row. You're going to use up all the diapers if the baby's not trained. You have to change the diapers a few times a day. So the Tosfos says that that's an oinus d'muchach. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the diapers get dirty. Even if you washed all the diapers before Yontif, that's an oinus that all the neighbors are aware of. So that's mut. Or let's say a guy was sick in the hospital, or he came back from a boat trip. The boats used to travel for months and months and months. Or he was in prison, and there's no barber in the prison, there's no barber in the hospital, there's no barber on the boat. And he comes back to civilization. Everybody knows he was sick in the hospital, he was in prison, whatever. They know the whole story. So the Mishnah says that's an oinus d'muchach, that's an oinus that everybody in the neighborhood is aware of. So they're allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, or wash the clothing on Chol HaMoed. Whenever there's an oinus d'muchach, then you don't have this gzeira d'rabbanan. Tosfos points out that shaving is the same as taking a haircut. The exact same deal. The other thing is that it's a difference. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Rav Moshe has a little bit like this, that if people shave every day, so all the people come to shul the first night of Yom Tov, everybody's clean shaven, no chiddush. Then a Chol HaMoed, surprise, all of a sudden everybody has a beard. So everybody knows why they couldn't have shaved it. You can't shave the hair that didn't grow yet. So that's an oinus d'muchach. So the pashtus is that if one who shaves every day should be allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed.
So
Melech
would be allowed take a haircut on Chol HaMoed?
If what?
Melech used to take a haircut every day.
Melech?
Melech.
Okay, yeah.
So, they ever brought down Melech, that Melech is allowed to do on Chol HaMoed?
We haven't had any Melech in a few centuries. Yeah, Rav Soloveitchik thought that if you're permitted to shave, then it should be a mitzvah out of Kovod HaRegel. Kovod HaRegel doesn't only apply to Kovod Yontif, but Kovod Chol HaMoed also. You're not allowed to walk around like a slob. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he works out the same heter, that those who shave every day, so known as the mucha, but then he recommends you shouldn't use the heter. Why not? That's what Rav Soloveitchik taught. If it's a good heter, should be a mitzvah to shave on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda has a famous tshuva. He says that in principle, shouldn't be allowed to shave, but he has that as a hidden reason why he has a mitama kamas. He allows all the balabatim to shave on Chol HaMoed. He doesn't explain why. So that's the Chassam Sefer has a tshuva where he explains what was the tam hakamas of the Nadiv Yehuda. What was the hidden reason that he didn't want to publicize? So he says the balabatim in his community, Prague was a very modern city, and they had a lot of prostitutes. He has a lot of tshuvas. Nadiv has a lot of tshuvas about the znus, eshesish, and all kinds of everything he has. One of the tshuvas he writes, I'm an old man, give me a break. Ask the shadas to someone else. I had enough. He suffered enough at all the shadas with the institutions in someone else. So Prague was like New York. It was on the cutting edge of society at that time. Everything was gone. So the Chassam Sefer says that the balabatim of the Nadiv Yehuda used to shave with a razor. So Nadiv Yehuda encouraged them that they should shave a Chol HaMoed, because if they're not going to shave for 8 days, they were very religious. If you tell them they're not allowed to shave a Chol HaMoed, they won't. But then they're going to shave with a razor after Yom Tov is over. So they'll have an 8-day beard, they'll shave with a razor, that'll be an Issa Deraisa of Tiglachas. But if they shave every day, shaved after 2 days of not growing, not shaving, so that, the Nadiv Yehuda, but that's not an Issa Deraisa of shaving with a razor, because the hair didn't grow long enough. But if they'll wait the full 8 days of Pesach, then they're going to shave with a razor, then there'll be a violation of Deraisa. So Nadiv Yehuda encouraged them, that's the Tamakomas. Nadiv Yehuda encouraged them that they should shave on Chol HaMoed, violate the Issa d'Rabbanan rather than to violate the Issa d'Oraisa of shaving with the razor after the 8 days of Yom Tov. So the Chassam Sofer writes, but of course our Balabatim of Pressburg are observant, they're Orthodox, they don't use a razor. So the Heter of the Nadiv Yehuda doesn't apply here.
What
you get a Nachri, yeah. Yeah. That's a big discussion in Achranim. How much does the hair, does the beard have to have grown in order to be in violation of the Isser of Tiglachas? Yeah. The Dark and Shubit, what's the Machlokes? How long does the hair have to be? Cutting the fingernails, the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanayim, whether it's included. It's a machlokes hatanoim by Chol HaMoed. Is it included in the prohibition of tisporis? And it's a same machlokes hatanoim regarding avelus. An avelus is not permitted to take a haircut. What about to cut his fingernails? So we should really pask like the Tana who says that it's muta both on Chol HaMoed and by Avelus. But then the Gemara has a line that beginustra is also. So Tais says one shot beginustra means to use a nail cutter. If you rip off your fingernails like this with your other fingers, or you bite them off, then it's taka muta on Chol HaMoed, and it's, the Gemara says muta on Chol HaMoed is muta during Avelus. But if a person uses a nail cutter, an instrument, so then the Ramo is machmer. The Ramo is machmer and Chol HaMoed and in Hilchos Avelos. So that's what the Mogen Avraham is makel. What if a person cut his nails before Yom Tov? And then he cuts his nails every week. So now it's already a week later. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael. You have a whole week goes by. A chutzlo is also. A whole week went by, he wants to cut his nails again before the second day's Yom Tov. So the Mogen Avraham quotes, the Tur quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, that if a person didn't take a haircut on Erev Yom Tov, he took a haircut 3 weeks before Yom Tov. So when he came, Yom Tov entered, he looked okay. He always takes a haircut once a month, let's say. So then, and towards the end of Chol HaMoed, now he needs a haircut. So Rabbeinu Tam says he was not nichnas liyom tov kishuhu menuvo. The whole reason why we don't permit you to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, kadei shelo yikanes liyom tov kishuhu menuvo, he didn't do that. Since he didn't do that, so he's permitted to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So the Torah disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam and says, no. Kadei shelo yikanes doesn't mean it's not a knas b'fnei nichnas menuvo. In order, Kadei shelo yikanes, said, you're not allowed to take a haircut. The only time it's mutter is when it's anayim is the mucha. So we follow the tour, even if when the Yom Tov entered, the fellow looked okay, and then he wants to take haircut on Chol HaMoed, we don't allow it. So the Mogen Avraham says, but on fingernails we would be mekel if he. If his nails were decent before Yom Tov began, and then in the middle of Chol HaMoed he wants to cut his nails, so we would be mekel because others hold even with a nail cutter it's mutter. Mechaber Pasch was like the other day in Taisi, with a nail cutter it's mutter. So yeah, we rely on the Rabbeinu Tam.
So even if you don't hold like the rug that is known as the mukha, can you be makel by shaving like this Mogen Avraham? That by shaving you can hold like the Rabbeinu Tam.
No, that's the Torah says by shaving we are machmer. We don't follow the Rabbeinu Tam. But by nails, he says, by fingernails, because others hold their bechlal. Other Rishonim hold their bechlal. Fingernails always mutter. So even though we're machmer like the Ramo, that with a kli, with an instrument, you don't cut the nails, but here you can rely on the Rabbeinu Tam.
It's not dafka by haircuts because you don't take them so close and you do it very rarely, but if shaving.
No, I don't think so. No, shaving, that's the taina, that it should be an oinis de mucha. For those who shave very often, so that should be considered an oinis de mucha.
And those who shave like once a week before Shabbat, do they shave before the Chag?
Yeah, the Pashtus in that bill is also known as the Muchach. Everybody knows that on Erev Shabbos, the guy shaved. Everybody knows the first days he shaved. And he couldn't have shaved the hair that hadn't yet grown. That should be the same hetter. During Sfira, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gaon of a meaning that one observes Avelus over the death of the Talmidei Rebbe Akiva, over the Churban HaTorah that occurred at that time. Hoy, hoy, lam shamen. No, as an expression. There was no Torah going on until Rabbi Akiva found five or six students. And those are all the famous Tanoim. And then he taught over the Torah all over again after losing all those thousands and thousands of students. So the Shulchan Aruch says that we observe Avelus b'miktzah. So the meaning is that we observe a Niyug Avelus not to participate in Nisuin, not to get married. Not to get married. If someone's getting married, then Rabbi Moshe has a tshuva, you can participate. That's his Avelus. Whether he's doing right or wrong, that's his shot. But once he's getting married, then it's a Sudas Mitzvah, I can go. So Nisuin and Tisperis, we don't do. We don't do Tisperis. As Rav Soloveitchik used to say, we don't observe Sfira that it should be more Chomer than Yud Beis Chodesh. If anything, it's less Chomer than Yud Beis Chodesh. And Yud Beis Chodesh, we allow haircuts when it's a Garbo Chaver. Let's say the person really needs a haircut. He looks awful for Chol HaMoed. I remember the high school students sometimes have the shtick. They want to aggravate their mothers, so they don't take a haircut. I remember one of the kids didn't take a haircut before Pesach. And then he said, Chol HaMoed, can't take a haircut. Sfira, can't take a haircut. I remember Rabbi George Finkelstein used to be the principal of the high school here. So he took one of these kids into the Beis Medrash around 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, and he asked me, Rabbi, is he allowed to take a haircut? So he said, yes, he looked awful. So he said, go right now and take a haircut. He made him take a haircut in the middle of the seer. The Pashta says that that's the din. Hashigar b'chaver. It can't be more chomer. If anything, it's less chomer than Yibbez Chodesh. It can't be more chomer. That's what Absalom Avedi used to say about shaving. He used to shave during seer. The Paschim say, the Marmshik and others say, for those who have the practice that they shave every day, every other day, so you reached, as far as shaving is concerned, reached the point of Yigar b'chaver of after a couple of days. The minig developed that we don't listen to music either during Sfira. So that's a shadow. What about a Chalamoid concert? Do the Nihugim of Avelis begin, those who count the first 33 days, still like Bam, they really observe the Nihugim of Avelis, a Chalamoid Pesach. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim has two opinions on the matter. One opinion is that you're not allowed to go to the, those who observe the first 33 days of Sfira should observe the Avelis on Chalamoid Pesach as well. But Shlomo Levilna has in his Tshuvas, the Binyan Shlomo, he was a Meir Hara, he was a Dayan of Vilna. In the late 1800s, they were printing the Vilna shop. He writes a Dovah Mechudish that I never heard of. He says that one does not observe Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh on Chalamoid ever. I mean, one and Avelis can also go to a concert on Chalamoid. I never heard of such a thing. We usually assume that one does observe Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh even on Yontif. Even on Yontif you observe Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh. We assume that Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh is so light, the Simchas Yontif doesn't constitute a steer to it. Yontif cancels Shiva, Yontif cancels Shloshim, because that's a tie to the Sasrit. But Yontif doesn't cancel Yud Beis Chodesh, it doesn't even suspend it. The Pashto says that one does observe Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh on Chalamoid.
After you go through, according to the Rav during Sphere, after you go through once, the first time of Achi Garbo Chavera, the cycle doesn't start again. Then you can shave every day.
That's a question. When one is in Avelis and he waits Achi Garbo Chavera, after Shloshim in Shloshim, it doesn't help you Garbo Chavera. After Shloshim is over, does it help you Garbo Chavera? But it looks bad. So does he have to wait next time? Each time, does he have to wait for you Garbo Chavera? So the Pashto says that it should be like that. You should. The din is the whole Yud Beis Chodesh, the whole sphere of one observed is an Avelus not to take haircut. Special Hati Garba Chaver. Rabbi Kiveger on that Siv and Shulchan Aruch in Yerbedeh quotes one of the Achrayim who says not so. He says once the person reached the first Yigarba Chaver, then he doesn't have to wait again for another Yigarba Chaver. So the minig is like that. Ramosha Function has a truth. He says the minig clearly is like Rabbi Kiveger, even though it doesn't really make any sense. So Vechik also thought it didn't make sense. Problematic Heta. That once you wait, if you got back, you don't have to wait again the second time. There's a questionable head. Okay, enjoy the Yom Tov. So tonight we're going to go through the Haggadah. Okay. Anybody's interested? Tonight we're going to go through the Haggadah in Tinek, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Cover everything you wish to know. Anybody going by car to Baltimore? In the next few hours? No? Okay.